Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはカルチャーエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to A Culture's episode on
Japan Top 10.
Hello everyone, this is Andy.
Hello everybody, this is Tassie
And you are listening to Japan Top 10, of course. And this time we are coming at you with a cultures episode all about vending machines in Japan.
I'm so excited. I love the vending machines over there.
I have so much to say. And honestly, it is like the thing that sucked me in the deepest right on my first trip to Japan. But we'll get into it.
Yes. Yes.
And before we get into it, we have a few short announcements for some of our listeners.So, if you are interested and, you know, love our show, why not think about joining it? You can join our team. We are currently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and even on-air hosts to join our podcast. Why not join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there? And you can do so and find the details by checking out our website. That's jtop10.jp/join.
Are you a small business owner or you want to promote yourself as an artist? Well, look no further. Our podcast is the right place for you for your advertisements. If you want to market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts, please come to JTOP10. We have potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Yes, that's right. And it's not only small businesses and companies, we are also looking for indie Japanese music artists to promote themselves on our podcast. I'm sure Tassie can attest to this as well, but we've had so many wonderful artists on the podcast in the past, and we're always looking to promote more and learn more about them ourselves because we're fans of music as well. So if you create Japanese music and want some exposure, please get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at NOLA, that's N-O-L-A, at jtop10.jp, along with the song that you would like us to feature on the podcast.
And lastly, if you enjoy listening to our cultures episode, remember you can receive the full episode of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor. So if you want to hear me and Andy ramble hours and hours, no, just kidding, not hours, but like more than the regular episodes. But yeah, if you want to hear me and Andy just go on and on with other tidbits in this episode, we can provide that episode if you become a Patreon donor by starting at $1. You'll receive the episode without any announcements nor interruptions, just commentary and music. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for details.
Awesome. Well, like Tassie mentioned right up at the top, we are going to talk about a subject near and dear to all of our hearts, that is vending machines. Now, do you have any, you know, personal anecdotes just right off the bat before we get a little background about vending machines in Japan?
Oh my god. While living in Japan, I know that you can attest to this, Andy, but like vending machines, they come in clutch when you really, really need like a pick me up throughout the day, or like, or just like you want to just explore the cities in Japan, there's always like a weird vending machine around.
Yeah, just waiting. And honestly, I feel like I'm sure we'll get into it later on in the episode too, but like the design of vending machines in Japan is something that I adore. Like, you will be in, for example, like, this is not, I've never been to Mount Fuji. I know, I lived in Japan for 6 years and never went, which is a shame. I wish I did.
Really?
But, okay. Really, really. But, like, just as an example, I'm sure you can go to, like, Mount Fuji. There's going to be a vending machine, number one, which is crazy, like, at a mountain somehow. And number two, that vending machine will probably be decorated like Mount Fuji. So it's like, I'm at Mount Fuji getting my Pocari Sweat, my little sports drink to climb this mountain from a vending machine that is probably, you know, decorated with the nature that I'm seeing around me.
Yes. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, I think that for any tourist, when they come to Japan and they see the vending machines and how abundant it is, you always think like, hey, why don't we have that in our country? Yeah. The chances are it's like that.
Exactly. And I mean, just not to delay getting us into the background of vending machines, but I just recently came back from a trip to Japan, which was very lovely. Mm. And with the group that I was helping to show around Japan, some of them, it was their first time. And one of the women, she was like, my kids came to Japan and told me like the best thing was these vending machines. And sure enough, as soon as we got to our first like little rest stop when we were traveling, we got to it was just, you know, it was like rows on rows on rows of vending machines. And she lit up. She's like busted out that camera faster than I think I ever seen anyone bust out a camera. But love, yeah, that. It's just so exciting for people. And I think it's, like you said, just something like how clean and crisp they are compared to like my image of vending machines, at least in America, is very limited. Granted, I haven't experienced a lot outside of the Midwest. So I just remember just like a giant, you know, like Pepsi bottle at my high school that basically had Pepsi and Mountain Dew, and that was it, I'm pretty sure. And then some like Gardettos and snacks.
Yeah, man. I always really enjoy seeing anybody's like first time, like their first experience with Japanese vending machine. But yeah, it's like it's like good. It's kind of, I like to compare a reaction to this to like a child opening a present during Christmas, because it's like it's always like a new wonderment you see in their face. You're like, wow.
It's beautiful. Well, we will get into the deep past of our history with vending machines. We'll open up that can later on. Mm-hmm. But first, why don't we take it back a little bit? Like, we have a little bit of history, a little history lesson coming at you for our vending machines. Vending machines, as we know them, have been around worldwide for decades, of course. But Japan remains kind of innovative at the front of this industry and never fails to make news with any new and largely strange updates that they bring into the world of vended products. One big reason why there can be such a large economy for vending machines, in Japan specifically, is their low crime rate. In places in the US, for example, it is rare to find vending machines in public anymore, for example, just walking around on the street, because there are high odds of theft and vandalism, unfortunately. And that kind of limits the ability for innovation and profit from vending machine companies, because obviously people don't want to put their products out there to be stolen. But but alternatively, Japan suffers less from this issue significantly, and it would be hard not to run into several, as we mentioned, while you're just out and about pretty much everywhere, even in the, you know, Inaka countryside.
Yeah, man, that's interesting. Well, a lot of people like often think about where the vending machine came from, and technically it's actually from around 215 BC in Egypt. And it was invented by a scientist named Heron. And the way they made this contraction back in that day was they utilized water displaced by weight of the coin inserted to operate, which is very, very tech savvy, innovative back then. Yes. And then for the modern looking machines, it did not begin until the Industrial Revolution in London. And also, the beverage vending machine did not appear or popularize until the introduction of the popular American beverage in Japan around 1962. So a lot of this like invention happened during the revolution of some sorts.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Yeah, like lots of... I'm noticing a theme around mechanical evolution.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, and I mean, and indeed, a like evolution and revolution it was, because it seems now that 80% of vending machine sales come from beverages. So people be thirsty throughout time is the takeaway. But it has been a slow decrease in beverage overall, though. Beverage machines have seen a slow decrease, actually, as ticket meal, so buying like kind of like at a ramen shop or something, buying a ticket for a meal, and food machines have risen to the pedestal to compete. And this has been possible due to a variety of reasons, such as improvements to technological capabilities. The recent pandemic actually fueled a lot of this due to wanting to have contactless ways of getting goods to people, and their newfound compatibility with restaurant and business models. The advent of frozen food vending machines has eased waste. Wow, that's interesting. I did not even think about that fact.
I did not think of that either.
Yeah, and having 24 access has actually relieved customers and workers who don't have to worry about accessibility to food options or snacks and can kind of go at their own pace. So that's wonderful. That's a plus.
It is a plus. Just like, yeah, it's just like the convenience of having those, like a vending machine is usually just for convenience for anybody, right? So it's like nice to like hear all the, yeah, it's really nice. It's just very innovative, where it's just like it helps with waste back in the day, and then also like helped other people with like workers and customers and such. So that's great. Well, the first vending machine in Japan was for tobacco, coming from fruition in 1888 by Tawaraya Kochichi, and it was made of wood. And then during the 1950s, the beginning of it was a popular era for vending machines in Japan, and it continued to increase dramatically following the decades after. So, for example, in 1964, there were around 250,000 machines throughout the country, and then in 1970, there were around 1 million machines.
Dang.
Wow. And so after that, 3 years after that, there were around 2 million, and some more ideas of why these spiked include take two. So the reason, So it should be a theory, right? So there are theories that there are of the spikes of the increase of vending machines. So one theory is in 1967, the silver 100 yen coins used to purchase vending items were replaced by nickel ones, allowing the government to put much more in circulation, 800 million to 1.6 billion. And then the second theory was because canned coffee was introduced to vending machines during the 70s, making caffeine much more accessible and timely to the country's efficient workforce.
Oh my god, not capitalism driving vending machines. I mean, of course it would, but
yeah.
Dang. Honestly, that last point speaks to my heart, because there was a vending machine in the basement of the city hall that I worked in.
Oh.
And I would go there. Actually, yeah, so there was a regular, there were three, and they were all for drinks, different companies' drinks. So I would go there, you know, my mid-morning break, and just, like, get a little coffee, a canned coffee. So that makes sense. But Also, on the first floor, they had a coffee vending machine, like hot coffee, and it would be a machine that would like grind the beans.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And like, yeah, and like do like the drip process. So it would take a little bit. And it was
fancy.
Kind of very luxe. Yes.
Fancy. I love it already.
So honestly, caffeine getting to workers, that was my experience working in Japan. So I kind of believe that second theory a little bit. Yeah, and it's interesting too, because like that's right after Japan had the Olympics and stuff, and they had this big, you know, the Olympics after the war when they kind of proved to the world that they were back after that point, and started getting this image of being very efficient and very on the cutting edge of technology and stuff. So it makes sense that all aligns with the vending machine culture of that time too. But one thing, speaking to that more luxury experience, is the price has changed over time as well because of the newness of the technology and the fancier options and better marketing that has developed over time. There's actually been an uptick in what could be called quote-unquote luxury vending machines.
Oh, yes. I've seen some on YouTube. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Yes. I think there was one that I saw. I don't think it's recent, but probably recent in the last 3 years, where it was like a fresh like cake vending machine and it was like and it was just like not like any other, like it's just like it just looked like really nice cake, but it was like cake that was like in the shape that fit into like a clear, I would like to say like a soda can type of thing, but you can see different layers. Yeah.
I understand. Yeah.
And it was like, I think it was like made by like a particular famous patisserie too in Japan.
Oh, so, dang. Yeah. Like points on points on points.
Yes. Luxury.
That's funny. I feel like too, I might be making this up in my brain, but I do feel like I've seen places that have like handbags and things in vending machines.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I can't remember. It was like in a mall or something, but it's like I'm losing exactly what the brand or anything, but I do remember seeing, you know, that kind of thing in terms of like, it wasn't of course a super duper brand name, I don't think, but it was like a quality leather handbag that you could get out of a vending machine.
Well, I think I seen something similar to that, but it was like more of like a gacha type of thing.
Oh,
where
okay.
You put in like, I think like 1,000,000 yen, right? $100 so. And then it's like you have to but it's like a mystery box. So you have to so it can be like you can actually get like, let's say, a Louis Vuitton wallet, or you can get something like something very obscure and like, you know, your money.
Just like kind of like whatever.
Yeah, it's like a whatever type of thing. Like you can literally get scammed, right? So like,
oh, that sucks.
I don't know. It does, but then I think people still like fall for it, you know, like they're hoping that they can get it. So
yeah, I mean, if you could get Louis Vuitton, you brought up a good point too. Is gacha like, is gacha those type of little kind of grab bag toy machines? Are those vending machines technically, or
wouldn't you say like it is? Well, it's kind of like
say so. I personally would say so, but yes. Maybe other people would disagree.
Yeah, it's not like the convenience of like beverages or what we were talking about with frozen foods, but like it still serves the purpose of putting money in and you're getting something out of it. So
even if it's a mystery, it's something that's gonna come out of that machine.
Yes.
Well, I think we will get back to gacha because that is something that I have spent so many coins on.
Me too.
But maybe we'll rein it back in and talk a little bit more of the conventional vending machines, specifically of the 20th century, as it's developed over Japan. So as we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, the first vending machines that came into existence were from Egypt about 2,000 years ago, invented by Herron, or aka the Hero of Alexandria. Does he have that title because he brought everyone, you know, things via the vending machine? Who knows?
Who knows?
But these dispensed holy water and wine at the time. But in Japan, the first machine being presented in 1888 was actually a quote-unquote automatic goods vending machine. And as Tassie had mentioned earlier, that first sold tobacco, of course, because Japan is a cigarette-heavy country. but later on, they would have things like wooden stamps and cards also as vending options. The inventor, Tawaraya Koshichi, also holds the record for creating the oldest existing vending machine in Japan, with one being on display in Tokyo's Postal Museum right now.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't think I've ever been to the Tokyo Postal Museum.
You want to go? Like, that sounds really cool.
Right? Well, anyways, so over time, the products sold began to diversify. In the 1920s, candy became popularized, and then in the 50s and 60s, juices and other beverages were sold. In the 60s, coffee was introduced, which added to their widespread popularity among the workforce. And then in the 80s, the first hot and cold machines began production under the leadership of the Pokka brand. This revolutionized the industry in their own way. And then a year round, now people choose the temperatures of their choice. For example, cold drinks during the summer and hot ones during the winter.
I will say that is something that I do love to this day. Like,
God, me too. I miss
what,
that.
Right? When the season changes, like, because vending machines, they do change out the products, obviously.
Yes.
And like when the guy would come to the city hall and change out the cold coffee drinks for the hot ones, I'm like, okay, we are getting into fall. We're ready to like break down. And yeah.
It's so good. It's like, I love these machines so much because like during when it's like the cold months in Japan, I would go to one of those and I would get a hot like tea or whatever. And I would use it as like a heat pack while walking outside.
Yes. Okay, so you, like, we're on the same wavelength because I would always get, they had the hot, it's like a hot azuki drink. It's like basically like a hot red bean soup.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my like little thing that kept me warm on my walk home from work. I'm right there with you, Tassie.
And there's like another one that was like, that my memory just unlocked was, do you remember like the corn soup?
Yes.
The corn soup. Oh wait, okay. Look, it's for all of our listeners, if you haven't experienced this, yeah, it's hot corn soup and they have like little corn kernels in the soup.
It's so good.
have you ever had the version too where it's like a similar cream soup but it's the clam?
I haven't. That sounds good.
It's actually really good. It's basically like a little portable clam chowder. And
yum.
That just hits like sometimes you're going for a little sample, your little walk through the town, and you want to go to the ocean and drink hot clam chowder, okay? That just
sounds
is the thing,
good.
So. but anyways, I mean, if it wasn't already evident by our gushing, the 20th century kind of marked the era where vending machines became ingrained into Japan's infrastructure, literally. They now make work, lives, and school far more enjoyable, safe, and convenient. And kind of on that last point, a lot of schools act as evacuation sites for natural disasters and things.
Mm-hmm.
And at schools, you can't buy anything from the vending machines during most of the times, but they have vending machines on site for when people are evacuating.
Mm-hmm.
And they dispense like the similar goods, like they have Calorie Mate, which is like a high calorie bar, and kind of like a, not an energy bar, but I guess an energy bar.
Mm-hmm.
As well as like water and options like that for people who have to stay there for a long time, maybe if their, you know, home got damaged or something. But it's really cool to see like that side of it too, because it's like, yes, they are convenient, but in times of emergency, they can pivot and be, you know, helpful to people.
Yeah, it helps during disasters and also helped with my own work life disasters of being hungry.
true. That's so true. Saved you in your time of need.
Yes.
And save people, you know, from preventing heat stroke or frostbite, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Or just quenching thirst or hunger and during the disasters and at all times. It's just like become the staple of life in Japan.
Yes.
But without further ado, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want to break down a little bit and have a short musical interlude for you. And today's, I guess, first song that we're going to get into is by The Cabs, and it's called Okutachi ni Ashita wa Nai, or There Is No Future for Us, from April 13th, 2011. Again, was No Future for Us, Bokutachi ni Ashita wa Nai by The Cabs. Now, they were a thriving rock band rooted in Saitama, Japan, up until about 2013. Their music was described in a lot of ways, such as punk rock, math rock, emo, or quote-unquote real emo.
Wow.
As well as post-hardcore and indie rock.
Then, the bassist of this band, Yoshikatsu Shuto, is now part of the band Kitok, which is becoming quite old and experienced, yet remains very popular.
Like, so shady.
Right?
Connor. No, I'm just kidding.
They're old.
But it happens. Anyways, the title of this song in Japanese literally translates to No Tomorrow for Us, but the band or whoever made the creative decision actually uses Future in the official English title instead.
The band broke up due to the strange circumstances when right before their album debut tour when their guitarist Takahashi Kunimitsu disappeared and dropped communication with the group for a while. The other two members just decided to call it at that point. The third member that hasn't been mentioned is Ita Nakamura, the drummer.
So weird.
So ominous.
What went on? Yeah. He like ghosted them. That's the real emo that they're talking about.
The real emo, yes. That's very rocker if you think about it.
It kind of, it's like the most rock and roll thing you can do, honestly.
I enjoyed,
I've never actually listened to the Cabs. This is my first time, and yeah, it was a nice little bop. It kind of felt seasonal. It felt a little angsty, a little of fall.
Yeah, it kind of gives me a vibes of, have you ever watched Honey and Clover?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like
okay.
I'm thinking of the ending song.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, yeah, it does give me the vibes of the ending song of Honey and Clover.
I'm thinking of that band Spitz. Yeah, Spitz.
Yep, Spitz. Spitz's imprint on the rock community in Japan, that needs to be studied by scholars.
Yes!
Wonderful. I mean, thank you to the Cabs, we enjoyed that. The vending world of Japan, I really appreciate all of the insights and things we got to talk about over our episode. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with about vending machines? Any recommendations? Any warnings?
Vending machines are amazing. Be careful with your money, especially if you have a Suica pass or whatever, like train pass, because you can like just use that to pay for all of your drinks. It's like very addicting to like just tap to pay with that, and very convenient. Remember, use it in moderation, and I hope you use it. But
thanks,
like, enjoy.
Mom.
Yes.
Thanks, Mom.
How about you? Anything else for you?
No, I think you said it all beautifully. I just to leave our listeners with one final like little anecdote or tidbit. I do remember seeing a news item that I think even got, you know, popular in, you know, non-Japanese news outlets, of this vending machine that could quote unquote like read your mind about what you wanted to drink. Don't fall for that. It's just telling, like, you are probably more likely to buy the drink it recommends you just because it recommended it to you. It's not actually reading anything about you, and if anything, it's like the world's worst personality quiz. I hope that all of our listeners get to enjoy vending machines for themselves if they're in Japan or if they ever get to visit. And if you have any cool, fun recommendations for us, we're always happy to, you know, get that insight from all of you, and hope you share your thoughts about it with us. But until then, you can look forward a week from now for another episode featuring Shana and Connor, who will bring you November's Artist of the Month episode, which will feature the metal rock band Pale Dusk. And that sounds really cool and sick.
Please be on the lookout for that, because that sounds really fun. And Shana and Connor are great hosts, so give them the same amount of love that you guys give to us.
Give them your love. Yeah, definitely. But we hope that you enjoy the, you know, end of your spooky season as we enter into the end of October, and hope you're safe, fun as always, and keep listening, and we'll look forward to catching you on the next one. So thanks as always.
Thank you.
Jane. Bye-bye.
Jane.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.